morning and welcome to Shattering This, a program devoted to those who know that the political, religious, media, military, and economic institutions which govern our world are rotten to the core, that they are the problem, and that therefore there is no religious, political, military solution for what ails us. Our mission, therefore, is to look behind the headlines to know who is perpetrating the crimes that over the course of the next 15 years will continue to wreak havoc. And as a result, in our second hour, we're going to use evidence and reason to explore the Torah, because its teaching regarding the covenant provides the only reliable response. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, is 877-300-7645. Yesterday, there was a continued onslaught of ads and messages about how tying the Christian religious holiday of Christmas into patriotism, and particularly the military, with commentator and ad after commentator and ad and politician after politician going out of their way to equate our military with sacrifice and service and bringing these all together under a Christmas theme. It is the worst thing that people could possibly do. Religion's rotten. The military most always makes a bad situation worse. Current situation in Afghanistan, what we did in Iraq, what we are aiding and abetting in Libya and Syria, what we do with our drones in Pakistan and Yemen, exacerbates bad situations. In every one of these cases, we have made bad situations much worse. And so to celebrate the military and to equate the military to a Christian religious holiday, which is wholly Babylonian and pagan in its origins anyway, bringing these things together and creating a national politic, blending them, is repulsive. It's as if the Christian God is indeed a God of war, as if Christianity has not moved an iota from Constantine, the general who was at war with his own nation, looking up at his God who was the sun, Mithras, seeing the pagan symbol of the cross and hearing Satan say, under this sign, conquer. We have now progressed 1,700 years from that day, and yet Christianity is still mired in onward Christian soldiers. This is from an article that, in fact, two articles that I found regarding the Pope and his message yesterday and on Christmas Eve. And so I would like to share with you some of what he said and to review it with you so that you know what he said that is true, what he said that is false. Of course, to begin with, he is celebrating today that has absolutely no divine sanction. Yahweh provides us with 7 days each year that he wants to meet with us. Christmas is not one of them. And so to celebrate Christmas in neither of which have divine sanction, in fact, are condemned by God, and to ignore the 7 days that he's actually asked us to meet with him, he's invited us to meet with him, is probably the worst thing a religious pontiff can do. And so we start there. Then he doesn't know God's name. He just has a generic God, because the God of Roman Catholicism, the God of Christianity, is a God that man has made. And so he begins, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Oh, that's true. So long as you recognize that his God is indeed light, because it is Hasatan. Now, demonic spirits, the Lord, as Yahweh referred to him, are light. That's why Paul saw him as flashing light on the road to Damascus. They are illuminated beings. To be a spiritual being is to be an energy-based entity, and therefore you're equivalent to light. He went on to say, yet on part of the people, there are times of both light and darkness, fidelity and infidelity, obedience and rebellion, times of being a pilgrim people and times of being people adrift. Fidelity and infidelity are reasonable terms if used in the sense of a monogamous relationship with Yahweh through the covenant. They are pagan terms, and they are religious terms used in any other context. Since there was no mention of Yahweh or his covenant here, they are pagan terms. It would be Fidus, is a pagan god, and faith is a holy religious concept. That faith and religion have become so interwoven, they are now synonymous terms. What is one's faith? What is one's religion? They are the same. But to those who know Yahweh, someone this Pope does not know, emphasize faith. Because faith is the only answer for those who do not know. It is a crutch. It fills the void when you do not know. So God does not call us to faith. He only calls us to fidelity as it relates to his covenant and to his name and to him as he is, as he described himself in his Torah. There's no mention of that here, which means that this Pope is entirely wrong. He then compares obedience to rebellion. God is not about obedience. There is no Hebrew word for obedience. Paul speaks of obedience, but it's obedience to Paul's message. Yahusha never speaks of obedience. The Torah is not a set of laws. Now, Roman Catholicism has their church canon, and they do have their set of man-made laws. And they want all Catholics, in fact, they would like everyone in the world, to obey their laws and not to rebel against them. I mean, just think of what happened when the Roman Catholic Church held sway over Europe. If you rebelled against their laws, if you were not obedient to them, you were tortured and then killed. But obedience is never an appropriate term when speaking of our Heavenly Father. His children, his covenant children, are not called to obey. We're invited to learn. At times of being a pilgrim people and being a people adrift, pilgrims are religious individuals. All pilgrims, therefore, are adrift. The Pope continued, in our personal history, too, there are both bright and dark moments, lights and shadows. Okay, why bother to even say that? If we love God and our brothers and our sisters, we walk in the light. So here is a Pope who has just told his listeners that obedience is what is desired. And then he says that all you need to do is love. Well, those are completely opposite concepts. It's completely hypocritical. Might flow off the tongue beautifully, but such a thing cannot be stated by a rational individual. If you are called to be obedient, then your love is irrelevant. In fact, those who obey do not love. If you are being controlled, influenced in the sense of laws and obedience, then loving relationships aren't even part of the equation. It's the problem with this Pope. I mean, all popes are misguided. They are greedy, self-centered, incredibly deceptive. But this particular Pope is a nincompoop. I mean, the reason that he says things that are so unexpected is, I'm telling you, he's not a few cards shy of a few deck. He's missing an entire suit. Then he says, but if our heart is closed, we are dominated by pride, deceit, self-seeking and darkness falls within us and around us. So he is speaking here not of our mind being closed, and that's what really Yahweh wants to reach us through our minds. That's why our eyes and our ears are adjacent to our brains. It is through observing what he has said, listening to what he has to say, and thinking about it that we come to know who he is. If our minds are open, in fact, he even says, the Torah, which is the source of our salvation, is easy to understand for those who are open-minded. But this Pope says that's not the source of pride, that's not the source of deceit, that's not the source of self-seeking, or the means to darkness. No, it has all to do with the heart. He wants you to feel, not think, because you can't be a thinking Roman Catholic. If you're informed and rational, you cease to be a Catholic. It is impossible to be an informed and rational Roman Catholic, because the religion's teachings, just as this Pope's slogans, are self-contradictory. They demean and contradict the very testimony of the God they said authorized them. Therefore, if you are informed and you know what Yahweh said, and you compare it to what Roman Catholics claim, you immediately recognize that it is absolutely impossible to be an informed and rational Roman Catholic. The same thing is true to a lesser degree, although not much diminished, to Christians as a whole. Whoever hates his brother, writes the Apostle John, when it comes to the disciple term is far more important than the apostle term. And his name was not John, it was Yahweh Kanan. In his name, we come to understand who he is and what he was doing for Yahweh. Yahweh Kanan means Yahweh is merciful. Disciple tells us that he learned from Yahusha. Yahusha was the living embodiment of the Torah, which means he learned what the Torah had to say. He says that whoever hates his brother is in the darkness. He walks in the darkness and does not know the way to go because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Not what Yahweh Kanan said. And Yahweh and everyone who knows him also has the capacity to hate. We must have it. That's one of the misconceptions in today's politically correct world, and it's also manifest in the religious world, is this notion that hate and hate speech is a bad thing, and that we just all ought to love one another, and we all ought to respect one another, and we all ought to get along with one another. But that notion is uncivilized. It's immoral. If you do not hate those that are abusing others, if you do not despise that which misleads, then you have no capacity to express genuine compassion for those you love. Yahweh constantly demonstrates his hatred of religious and political individuals. You listen to his rhetoric. He uses the term hate quite often. So this notion that someone who hates is somehow blinded is the opposite of what's true. Those who hate, at least those who hate because they know Yahweh, because they understand what he's offering through his covenant, because they have read and they observe his Torah, through understanding it, by coming to know its author, come to despise that which misleads people, taking them away from it. Now, here's the comment of one of the thousands, hundreds of thousands that congregated at the Vatican to celebrate what is wholly a pagan holiday. I mean, the Roman Catholic Church adopted Christmas because they wanted to expand their influence throughout Europe, and because the Romans and the Greeks and the Egyptians and the Babylonians, to expand their empire even beyond Europe, were celebrating Christmas under a variety of different names, but always on the same date and always for the same reason, the birth of the Son of the Sun, the Nativity of the Sun. They presented in all of these pagan religions as the Madonna and Child. Because of that, the Roman Catholic Church simply incorporated Christmas into their religion so that it would be comfortable and make it easier for them to increase their influence around the world. So in this celebration of a pagan holiday, one of the worshippers says, we want to share this special moment. So Christmas to them is special. That's not special to God. It's an abomination to him. With a person who is a beloved person, with an individual who is a beloved person. You know, when you fall in love with a deceiver, and you see it all the time, you see the newsreels of Nazi Germany, and look into the eyes and watch the gestures of those who are within shouting distance, eyesight of Adolf Hitler. They are there to share a special moment with a beloved person. They're both deceivers. The same thing was true with Mao Zedong and the images of people that were near him. And they, if this person said that we appreciate all he's doing. He's misleading them. He is deceiving them. He is manipulating them. 9 months into his papacy, there has been much made of the Pope's reforms, and all of his reforms really have been superficial. He did authorize a little more openness regarding the Vatican's bank, but that's been it other than superficial kinds of things like saying, I don't want to wear the ruby slippers. While this year's Christmas liturgy remains the same, experts say that we should expect the unexpected. That's because he's not playing with a full deck. Quote, he tends to be a surprise because he does things that are normal, but are very abnormal in terms of the papacy. Another article in the same event says Pope Francis rang in the first Christmas at the Vatican, his first Christmas at the Vatican, with a message of love and forgiveness. He says, on this night, because now this is a special night for him, let us share the joy of the gospel. Now, he's saying, I don't want to share the joy of the Torah. Let's not share the joy of the covenant. Let's not share the joy that is made ours by accepting the invitations to meet with God on Passover, on leavened bread and firstborn children. Certainly not on Sukkah shelters. He never mentioned any of those. But no, it's the joy of his gospel, because the gospel is what is in Christianity the antithesis of, the adverse of, the replacement for the Torah. So Yahweh authored his Torah. That's his plan. That's his message. That's his guidance. The church has their gospel. And so this Pope is saying, let us share the gospel, not share the testimony of God, not share the covenant, not share these opportunities to meet with God. No, let's share the gospel. And of course, they define that gospel through the letters and the words of Paul, who was the most anti-Torah of all. Welcome back to Shattering This. This next comment is a religious comment, as is the one that follows. It is somewhat true, but in the case of the individual who was saying it and to whom he was conveying it, it is wholly false. It's simple. It says God loves us. He hates the Pope, and he does not know the vast majority of those who are listening to him. If you don't know someone, you most certainly can't love them. And if you despise someone, you certainly do not adore them. God loves the children of his covenant. And for them, he made all sacrifices and did everything that he promised to enable us to grow and to live and to be part of his family, to spend eternity with him. But he makes it very clear that he does not love everyone. As a matter of fact, he goes way out of his way to describe the kinds of individuals that he despises. Then this reads, he so loved us that he gave his son to be our brother. What that does is completely misrepresent the concept of son. You know, Yahusha referred to himself as the son of man. Did not refer to himself as the son of God. Yahusha is actually the diminished, corporeal manifestation of Yahweh, set apart from Yahweh, to represent the teachings of the Torah and to enable its promises relative to the covenant. Therefore, to fulfill Pesach, Matzah, Bukurim, and Shavua, which he did in year 4000 Yah, 33 CE. Son speaks of the relationship in the sense of a son is about their father's business, which is what Maaseyah means. Means the work of Yah. It is what the name Yahusha conveys. Yahweh saves. But when you look at Yahusha, and of course this Pope doesn't even know his name, he will refer to him as either the Lord, which is Satan's title, or as Jesus, which is without basis. When you look at him as being a individual, a unique individual, and as your God, then you are wholly disengaged from what he represented and had to say. We can look through him to see Yahweh. We can notice that he points to Yahweh. We can listen to him convey the words of Yahweh. We can follow his example as he walks down the path that leads to Yahweh. But the moment that we focus on Yahusha as if he were a unique individual, we've lost sight of what Yahusha means, of this whole concept of being set apart, and of Yahusha being the corporeal and diminished manifestation of Yahweh. He did not give us his son to be our brother. You see, once you recognize that Yahusha is a diminished corporeal manifestation of Yahweh, and that Yahweh is our father, then you recognize that Yahusha took on physical form to enable the promises of Pesach, Matzah, Bukurim, and Shavuah, to enable the benefits of the covenant, because he is our father, not our brother. To be light in darkness, this represents, and yet the darkness of the Roman Catholic Church is probably the gloomiest that man has ever experienced. He then says, To us the Lord repeats, do not be afraid. And I too repeat, do not be afraid, the Pope said. And yet the Lord is Satan's title. If you are speaking to, worshiping, obeying the Lord, then you are following the adversary. And his Latin Vulgate is filled with fear. Absolutely filled with it. It's hundreds upon hundreds of times it says, be afraid. Hundreds and hundreds of times it reads, be afraid, improperly translated. And so what he's saying here is, don't pay any attention to what is written. Pay attention to what I say. Don't pay any attention to the fact that there's an eternal conflict. And if what is written is true, what I'm saying is a lie. If what I'm saying is true, what is written is a lie. He then says, our Father is patient. As he moves from Son to Father, he loves us. We always patient in some regards and not in others, but the concept of patience with someone who is energy-based, light-based, is irrelevant. Time for him is irrelevant. There is no real concept of patience as it relates to the nature of Yahweh. How can you be patient if patient means I'm going to wait for you to come around if time is irrelevant? He repeats, he loves us. He gives us Jesus to guide us on the way which leads to the promised land. You know, if you don't know Yahusha's name, you do not know him. It's impossible to know him and not know his name. If you're using the name Jesus, I can tell you for certain that you do not know him. And if you do not know him, you ought not be speaking of him. And once you come to know that Yahusha means Yahweh saves, and you know that he is Yahweh saving us, then what you need to recognize is that he did guide us to the promised land. But Christmas is not part of that path. Easter is not part of that path. Sunday is not part of that path. He observed Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim. The first story that we're giving any insight into the nature of Yahusha isn't in a manger. Nothing is said about him. We know nothing about him based upon the eyewitness accounts of what occurred on Tabernacles in Jerusalem. The first dialogue we hear from Yahusha, the first time we're given an insight into what is important to him, he's 10, 12 years old. Where is he? He's in the temple, his father's house. Why? He's celebrating Passover. So why is it that this Pope can talk about a man whose name he does not know, guiding us on the way that leads to the promised land, and pay absolutely no attention to his example, to the path that he walked, to the fact that when we first learn anything about him, he's observing Passover. And that he's in Jerusalem for the entire week, the 7 days, which includes Passover and unleavened bread and firstborn children. And that he concluded his ministry with a celebration by observing Pesach, where his body became the Passover lamb. Matzah, where his soul served to enable the promises of unyeasted bread by having his soul go to the place of separation on the Shabbat of Matzah. And then to have Yahweh's spirit, which had left him on Pesach, be reunited with his soul on Bukurim, so that he is the firstborn into the covenant family, providing the way for us to follow. That is the path that Yahusha lived. That is his example. If you're going to follow him, you must be Torah observant. If you are not Torah observant, if you do not walk away from and despise Christmas, Easter, and Sunday worship, and the Roman Catholic Church, if you do not hate these things, then you cannot follow him. If you do not observe Passover, unyeasted bread, firstborn children, the promise of seven trumpets, the day of reconciliations, and Sukkah, camping out with God, if you do not observe and answer the invitation to meet with God on these days, while observing the Torah in the process and listening to what Yahweh had to say in his Torah teaching and prophetic writings, then you're not going to the promised land. You're going in the opposite direction. There's a hypocrisy, an internal contradiction within Roman Catholicism and the whole of Christianity that makes it impossible to be an informed and rational Christian. Here he is claiming that Jesus is the guide. But my friends, if Yahusha is the guide, you have to be Torah observant. You have to answer the invitations to meet with God 7 times a year. You have to walk away from religion. You have to come to hate everything that Christmas and Easter represent. Think of it. He says that Jesus is the light who brightened the darkness. No, it's actually Yahweh is the light who brightened the darkness. Yahusha is a diminished manifestation of Yahweh. Our Father forgives always. He is our peace and light. No, the Father doesn't forgive always. Why do you think that Yosha said that the vast preponderance of people find the way to death and destruction? And only a few, those who go against the crowd, find life. Why did Yahweh etch in the second of the three statements that he wrote with his own hand on the first of the two tablets that his mercy was for thousands, and it was only for those who observe the terms and conditions of his covenant? That's what he wrote in stone. You know that the Roman Catholic Church, of course, eliminated the second of those three statements on the first of the two tablets because it began by speaking against idols, graven images. And yet they have created a graven image for this day, the Madonna and Child. They've created a graven image for their Easter, which is the cross and crucifixion, the crucifix. And so not only don't Catholics know that those things are wrong, they don't know that only few know God's mercy. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. The pontiff from this point, after misrepresenting everything that Yahweh represents, that Yahweh conveyed, turned to the wars that are raising havoc with our planet. And he tells us that he wants peace to happen, and he wants us to pray for Syria, South Sudan, the Central African Republic, and the Holy Land. Of course, he never mentioned, and nor did his predecessors mention the Sudan when the Islamic government in the north was perpetrating genocide against 3 million people throughout the south and the Darfur region of the Sudan. But now that the Southerners are fighting among themselves, it makes it into his speech. In Syria, the problem, of course, is holy Islam. It's the very religion that he wanted to embrace, that he wants Roman Catholics to accept, is the entire source of that conflict. That conflict exists simply because Islam exists. The very religion that he wants to embrace, that he wants to incorporate into his own, is the catalyst. Why would you, on one hand, accept, promote, tolerate, embrace the religion, when on the other hand, you would condemn the consequence of that religion? He also mentioned the Central African Republic, which is the most recent outbreak of Islamic terrorism. And then, from him, his point of view, the Holy Land. It's not a holy land. It is a set-apart land. Set apart unto Yahweh, which excludes religious individuals. He says false pretenses won't do, when, in fact, that's all Roman Catholicism has ever been, is false pretenses. He says true peace is not a balance of opposing forces. It's not a lovely facade which conceals conflicts and divisions. Peace calls for daily commitment, he said in his Christmas message. You know, if you want peace, what you do, which the way to achieve peace among men is to hate that which leads to war. You know, it's the opposite of what he has been saying all along. If you embrace and if you tolerate that which is vicious and violent, you get viciousness and violence. To tolerate Islam is to accept its terrorist nature. When you do as he says, when you accept things that are merciless, you get a world that is merciless. It's the reason that Yahweh hates religion and politics, militarism, and jaundiced economic schemes, is because the consequence of those things is what we witness, this viciousness, this mass killing, the mass rapes, the mass enslavements, the mass tortures. They're all a product of too few people standing up and opposing, hating, despising the very things that perpetrate these kinds of hellish conditions. You don't get peace by embracing that which is vicious. It's not an individual commitment to be accepting and loving. It is instead a commitment to be intolerant, to hate, to despise that which is deadly and destructive. Once again, everything this man says is the opposite of what is true. In the Christmas address, it is customary to be both political and global, and the Latin name means to the city and to the world, the Urbi et Orbi. So this is the Roman pontiff's message to the city of Rome and to the world, as if Rome were important. Rome is spoken of by Yahusha as being the seat of Satan, as being demonic. Popes give the address of the blessing on special occasions such as Easter and Christmas, which are the two most pagan announcements in all of Christianity. Easter is when when Mother Earth is impregnated by the rays of the sun so that 9 months later the son of the sun can be born. It is the time of resurrection, of dying and resurrecting gods. Every aspect of these special Roman Catholic and Christian days demonstrates just how far they have fallen away from Yahweh, from his Torah teaching, and from his covenant. It is sad to hear such words.